Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Okay, welcome. Hello, friends. The Eric St. Joe podcast has begun. Right here in the Impact Power Sports studio. Impact Power Sports. Online at impactpowersportsmi.com. They are in Rockford, Michigan, along 14 Mile Road, under new ownership. A lot of the same faces are there, but a new guy owns it. His name is Mark. Nice fella. I met him. Local guy. And he's doing things right over there, and he wants to see you. Head over to their website, impactpowersportsmi.com. Take a look at some of the inventory that they have. ATVs, UTVs, e-bikes, motorcycles, even a snowmobile or two for you to check out. Zero turn radius lawnmowers, if that's your thing. All there at Impact Power Sports. Thank you so much to them for being here. Chris in Buffalo says, good morning. Hilarious night last night. Good job, Kenny. That is a reference to, okay, we're doing the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast. And while we're doing it, we're reviewing the rest of Blood Moon 2. Kenny's watching on his cell phone because he's waiting to pick up his youngest child from something. Kenny has a stylus and he realizes that while he's watching what we're doing in the Zoom participation, he's able to take whatever it is we're watching and draw on with his stylus various things. Like in one particular case, he's drawing boogers flying out of the character that we call Booger Man during the film. It was ridiculously fun. And then others got on board. Amy started to do it. Megan started to do it. It was just insanely ridiculous. All while this very, very confusing movie is playing. We were flummoxed, to say the least, with this film. We just ran it. We just rolled it. Like, you know, we did a lot of, I did a lot of editing on the first handful of clips from yesterday. Or last week, but I just rolled the rest of it. And I didn't think that, I was concerned that there'd be so many lulls that it wouldn't be that much fun. But no, it actually worked out really, really well. Just playing it and then us reacting to what? Huh? What was that? Sometimes simpler is better, you know? I didn't think that it would work to just roll it, but I think it worked better than the first time with reviewing the clips, you know, like, because I went back and I would edit them and try to have, which it was fine, but I think this was more entertaining. I know that I felt like I enjoyed it better. Chris says, thanks to Jimmy for sharing. Megan says, who is Casey? I don't even remember that part. Was Casey the guy who sold the gun to Paul? Some of you are like, we don't even know what the fuck you're talking about, Easy. I think at some point we can do this. As like, you know how like you see Rocky Horror Picture Show and you know, It's like the first time every time. I think there's all sorts of new jokes that can come out of these. So next year, let's pencil in for consecutive weeks a Blood Moon screening. And then the following week, Blood Moon 2. Let's plan on that. At about this time of the year, we can do that. Fraudulent Science Theater 2000. Says Chris in Buffalo. Megan says, plus Booger Man was able to get Paul to say something about Blood Moon 3, 4, and 5. Yeah, this is weird. You know, I mean, in the universe, in the Blood Moon canon, this one was such a strange vibe. You know, it's kind of like in the Halloween movie franchise, you had Halloween, and then you had Halloween 2, and then there was Halloween Season of the Witch, which was fucking weird. This was like that on steroids. All right, so if you missed it on Patreon last night, the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast, the review of Jimmy's film Blood Moon 2. This is absolutely something that you need to see and you need to be a part of. So go to my Patreon and check it out for 7 days so you can enjoy this as well. In addition to that, as Kenny writes, sorry for drawing all over your movie, Jimmy. Love ya. No, I don't think his feelings are hurt. Don't forget, Jimmy didn't make the movie. He's an actor in the film. He had a different role in the second film than the first one. The first one, he was key in the writing of the film. Paul decided to do this on his own. He went rogue. And from a continuity standpoint and confusion standpoint, this movie was a turd. Blood Moon 2 made Blood Moon 1 look like The Shining. Chris describes it perfectly. Jimmy's just the actor. Whoops. Sorry about that. I suspected something was wrong because I saw some comments. No sound easy. A second ago, I had to cough. So I hit the cough button, which muted my mic. And then I didn't unmute it. Ding dong. Chris writes, sent you outtakes from the movie, LOL. I couldn't get enough last night. Hang on, I gotta drink this coffee. Everything's messed up now. We also had another edition of Who Are These Free Beers? It was, we drilled down on a lot of topics. Ben and I together had more than 30 clips of our heroes from this past week. Most of them audio, some video clips. But we covered a lot of ground. Something that we did not cover was something that actually happened yesterday on their show. And I was taking the dogs for a walk, and I knew this topic was coming. But the walk ended, so I stopped listening. And I didn't hear it, but Greg had teased it. And what he teased was coming up in the next segment. Something about talking sexy. From what I understood before people started telling me what happened, he was doing a segment where audience, the guys on the show and the girls, had to like read something that's inherently not sexy and read it in a sexy style voice and try to make it sexy. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I hear that on the premise, I'm like, well, that could be funny. I mean, I'm not really sure what, how it's going to unfold. I know that they have a history of bits that aren't so well thought out. So who knows how this will unfold? And then I did not listen. Ben, however, did. And he's been sending me clips. You gotta check out who reads it sexiest from yesterday. Talk about shit. He writes, I wrote, LOL, you are not the first person to mention this to me. Holy crap, I can't wait. He says, make sure you check it out on the webcam. Freebeer has a smile the whole time. And then he sent me some clips of some Freebeer super laughs. In fact, I can probably just play you the audio from what Ben sent. Okay, hang on a second.
Driver, I don't even know her. Now, most importantly, you can't forget.
Okay, so Freebear's super laugh. Something Maitland says, we covered that yesterday. How about this one?
We're getting somewhere, aren't we?
Okay, you got to stop that. You must rein that in. Ben then sent this. He says, the last text that Greg reads is the winner.
I just kind of came to in the garage holding a handful of screws, and I don't know why. Just tuned in from Tennessee. I'm so confused what's going on, but it's very soothing. This one. I just got up, but I don't know why. Now I feel like I need to go back to sleep. Mm-hmm. And then this. This is a horribly boring bit.
Now I can't judge this yet. I gotta hear it from beginning to end. Before I can officially judge. But it's not looking good. Linda says, Greg thinks of Maitland every time. Oh, my God. Greg thinks of Maitland every time he bangs his snoopy-nosed wife. Holy fuck. Excuse me. All right. Snoopy-nosed wife. Excuse me. Damn it. Hang on. I'm going to mute the mic again. I promise to turn it back on this time. Chris writes, subject line, who can read it sexier? What the fuck? Easy. I'm sure you have already been tipped off or noticed the segment, but just in case, who can read it sexier was an actual segment on the show today and was such a pile of steamy shit. I couldn't even force myself to listen to the entire thing. You know, I don't know. I'm just going by what Ben said and what this guy said. I haven't listened to it, but it's not entirely impossible to even put into perspective that when there's something in the room that makes the people in the room laugh, it doesn't always translate to the rest of the audience. It becomes more self-indulgent. Entertaining to them only. But what I heard there, even though there's a Greg super laugh, I'm still holding out hope on the bit. I think it can still be funny. You know, I love to throw them under the bus just as much as the next guy. But I have to be fair. Anyway, Chris writes, also, It took me a while to realize how bad the show had gotten over the years before I went to yours. And that was with me skipping huge chunks of their show daily. I don't know how anyone can still listen and say, hey guys, that sexy Reed bit was one hell of a segment. He continues, I'm embarrassed for myself for not switching over sooner. If I had heard your Who Are These Freebeers show when you first started doing them, I surely would have switched sooner. I only listen to Freebeer and Hot Wings show now so I can send you content to make your show even better. Hopefully word gets out about your weekly Who Are These Freebeers to these poor fans of the FBHW show so they can also come to the realization that the show is no longer good and it's okay to feel that way. Now I'm going to pause there, and I have said that for the longest time. You don't like to say goodbye to something that you've invested so much time to. I think back to when I watched TV shows like Lost or The Sopranos or Game of Thrones, where they kind of lost their way somewhere during it. And then you're like, I don't want to stop, though. I don't feel like I should, but oh, God. Problem with this is there's no end in sight here. Those shows had a finite run. So I know a lot of the people, I'm speaking directly to you, who may be poking around on this show now, that's what you're going through. You're just not ready to admit it yet. It doesn't hurt you to just stop listening. It's okay to stop listening. He says, I was a loyal listener of the show dating back to 08. And it was hard at first to go against them. But when fake bits and the consistency of shit segments, either stolen from Reddit or, he writes, or their mailer given to them daily. I'm not sure what that means. Maybe the prep service is what he's referring to. I was like, fuck you guys. He says, I appreciate the work that you put into your show, Zane. I don't think many people understand how hard it is to do a monologue type podcast. Let me pause there. It's not hard now. It's second nature now. There was a time when it was very difficult. Thank God people stuck with me enough to where I could get to a point where it's like, yeah, you can do this. It's a little strange to be talking to a camera and a microphone, but the audience does an excellent job of interacting with me. So they in the chat, so they do a good job of, that's my text line. That's my phone into the show line. He says, if listeners can get used to the monologue type of show you put out and actually listen to the content, they will realize the night and day quality between the two shows. It was great hearing Diana join the show after Halloween. I think getting more friends, family, or fans involved into your show will only make it better. Keep up the great work and know that your show will keep gaining listeners with the amount of work you're putting into it. Thanks for the great podcast, signed Chris M. Thank you, Chris. You're very kind. I wrote, I'm glad you're on board. I did hear from a few people about this garbage segment as it is described to me. I will review and will report. As you know, as I have done more than once, and so has Ben, when Free Beer and Hot Wings do a show that's good, I give it credit all the time. I do that. Linda points out that her comment of Greg thinks of Maitland every time he bangs his snoopy-nosed wife. She says she almost fell off the treadmill typing that. Worth it. Bob mentions the show The Walking Dead. Similar. Yes. Jeremy says, I want to post a new thread on their subreddit every week just titled, What Were the Good Segments This Week? Yeah, do it. Linda says, yeah, you should. Just call it Best Segments of the Week. so they'll think it's positive. Jeremy says, I think this is a great idea just to see zero comments. Linda says, or we'll get insight into what their dumb fuck audience finds funny. Yeah, I'm not going to go out and call the audience of the Freeburn Hot Wing Show dumb fucks. I'm going to say, though, that their brains are clouded. All right? Because, like Chris there, he was a dumb fuck audience member. He's not anymore. So I guess we can call them that, knowing that they can very easily unfuck themselves if they can get out of that shit. You're brainwashed. Jesus Christ, you're like Trump supporters, God damn it. By the way, I got a lot of compliments about EZ's election coverage. Thanks for the show today, writes Chris D. It was refreshing to hear it brought up honestly and taken lighthearted. Most people would shy away from it, so thank you. We obviously all were watching it unfold. It's silly when people don't speak about current events in fear of losing audience members. There was another comment on Reddit by the person known as Sticks Swim Champ. I think I know who that is, but I don't. I knew who that was at one point, but I don't remember it. Sticks Swim Champ says, just wanted to say I enjoyed the show as an election postmortem. After what feels like decades of my life trudging through the sludge of hatred, despair, mistrust, and people just being insufferable assholes to each other, this was good content to just exhale and carry on my day with. I think a lot of us needed that, and I hope everyone has an Eric Zane to continue on with daily life with. Patrick follows up with, it's cool that Zane acknowledged politics and what's happening in the world. A lot of people steer away from these conversations, but Zane never does. I agree with most of the views he has, but disagree on how to fix them. I do enjoy listening to different ideas and opinions, even if I don't agree. The overwhelming majority of the audience gets it and is fun to interact with. This guy writes, Trump, baby! And then Patrick says that he just found an insufferable asshole. And I'm like, whatever. They won. They earned the day. Let it roll off your back. Thanks for the kind words. That's the only advice I'll give about how to feel. Jeremy says, where are Tophus and Joe? Joe made an appearance yesterday. He suggested that there was election fraud, which is the only person who I have heard say that anywhere. I don't think there was any election fraud. I don't think anybody believes that. Tophus, I don't know. Tophus is usually on the chat. He's very vocal. Nick always fucks with him. Nick in the arena always tries to get him to fucking freak out by saying nasty shit. So, but he was, you know, big time left, you know, super left, but, and he wears his heart on his sleeve. So, and I hope he's okay. I haven't heard from any of my dark blue friends. I've seen a lot of people that have discussed at length about what went wrong. It seems like that's been a thing online from journalists to people on Reddit. This reason why they lost, one that Harris lost, that reason why Harris lost. And I'm like, it's so easy to do that with hindsight being what it is. I have no idea. And it really doesn't matter. I saw one on Reddit that Chris D shared with me. And this guy, like, he unpacked so much shit about why he didn't, why he voted for Trump. And I'm like, who the fuck has time for that shit? Bernie Sanders, though, is somebody that I like. I like Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders talked about this very thing. I want to share that. This is a news release from Bernie Sanders. He writes, it should come as no great surprise that a Democratic Party, which has abandoned working class people. This is like the only person that I would read and give it any thought to. I like this guy. Anybody else? I'm like, yeah, whatever. Democratic Party, which has abandoned working class people, would find that the working class has abandoned them. He writes, first it was the white working class, and now it is Latino and black voters as well. You know it's bad when, from election to election, like if you were to compare the Latino vote from the last election to this election, Harris won the Latino vote, but not by much, like less than 10 percentage points. In the previous election, Biden had 30 to 35% more Latino vote than Trump. That's saying something. And think about that. You've got a president now, president-elect, who has said that he's going to deport the Mexicans. And he's got Tony Hinchcliffe talking shit about Latinos at a rally. And he still, his Latino numbers were through the roof. Wow. The Latinos and the blacks loved Trump in this election. Bernie goes on to say, while the Democratic leadership defends the status quo, the American people are angry and want change, and they're right. Today, while the very rich are doing phenomenally well, 60% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck, and we have more income and wealth inequality than ever before. Unbelievably, real inflation accounted for weekly wages for the average American worker are actually lower now than they were 50 years ago. Sanders continues. Today, despite an explosion in technology and worker productivity, many young people will have a worse standard of living than their parents. And many of them worry that artificial intelligence and robotics will make a bad situation even worse. Today, despite spending far more per capita than any other country, than other countries, we remain the only wealthy nation not to guarantee health care to all as a human right. And we pay by far the highest prices in the world for prescription medicine. We alone among major countries cannot even guarantee paid family and medical leave. Today, despite strong opposition from a majority of Americans, we continue to spend billions funding the extremist Netanyahu government's all-out war against the Palestinian people, which has led to the horrific humanitarian disaster of mass malnutrition and the starvation of thousands of children. Will the big money interests and well-paid consultants who control the Democratic Party learn any real lessons from this disastrous campaign? Will they understand the pain and political alienation that tens of millions of Americans are experiencing? Do they have any ideas as to how we can take on the increasingly powerful oligarchy, which has so much economic and political power? Probably not. Sanders concludes, in the coming weeks and months, those of us concerned about grassroots democracy and economic justice need to have some very serious political discussions. Stay tuned. Hey, it's your old pal EZ with my latest and greatest sponsor, Uncommon Goods. Found at uncommongoods.com. This is a fantastic gift site for that special someone on your list. Could be holiday related, could be birthday related, could be for you related, or just because you're awesome to that someone special. We're talking about amazing gifts that Uncommon Goods has scoured the internet for, from artisan crafters and people that make cool stuff that you want. They describe it as, give a gift that sparks joy, wonder, delight, and that it's exactly what I wanted feeling. They will feel that way when they check out what you have taken the time to discover at Uncommon Goods. There's all sorts of different categories for you to shop. Food and drink, gardening, pets and animals, reading, sports. Like, for example, I click on sports and I'm just checking out all these amazing gifts that somebody would love. Maybe some decorative coffee mugs or shot glasses, things like that with your favorite team's logo on them. All sorts of fun books related to sports. The list goes on and on. I mean, seriously, you can scroll for hours and hours and just see some amazing things that you could get somebody for a gift, because that's what it's all about, you know? And to make it extra simple for you, I can give you 15% off your next gift. Go to uncommongoods.com/Zane. uncommongoods.com/Zane for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. I can't stress that enough. This is awesome. Start your shopping at uncommongoods.com. Okay. Now, he doesn't give a fuck. He's already been boned forcibly by the Democratic Party. By the way, he was just elected to his fourth six-year term in the Senate. Wow. Fake Freebeer writes, I can't take Sanders serious. He bows to the party even though they have screwed him twice. Until they lose badly, then he's tough on them. At the end of the day, do I think any of this is going to matter? Of course not. It's going to be business as usual for a long, long time. So strap yourselves in. There ain't a damn thing we can do about it. You're just going to have to let this guy try, do his thing, Trump, and live with the results. That's how elections work. Literally, all you can do is sit back and enjoy it. Not enjoy it, but take it in. It might not be the best thing. Or don't pay attention at all. There's literally nothing you can do. Might I suggest let it unfold? Maybe it'll be great. I doubt it. But he's got 4 years to figure this shit out. Jeremy says further, the DNC needs to realize that abortion and good vibes are not enough to win an election. Becky says if he deports everyone, the construction and farm industries will crumble. Well, Trump's plan is to deport people that are in the country illegally. Not every Mexican worker that works in construction and farm industries, pardon me, is in here without appropriate paperwork. Some are. And that's just something that people are going to have to deal with. All right. That's pretty much all I have about that. Thanks for all the questions and comments. I should say comments, no questions. I mean, come on. I'm still getting people on Q100 trying to figure out where I stand on things. Now, they don't know about the podcast. But I made it very clear. I don't talk politics on Q100. Joe Martinez says, finally, the white people are going out to the fields to work. Is that right? I didn't know that. TikTok garbage says, you ignored me, LOL. I don't recall. I didn't see the first one. And by the way, this TikTok garbage person is new. I don't recognize the name. If you're not on Twitch, it's more difficult for me to see the comment. So if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, sometimes it's a challenge. So I'm not sure what exactly you wanted me to talk about, but I'll be happy to engage you. Meanwhile, though, speaking of that, I am going to cut you folks loose that are watching on Facebook. How do you feel about people calling MAGA people cucks? That is the question. How do you feel about people calling MAGA people cucks? How do I feel about MAGA calling? What do you mean? Like, should I be mad at people for attacking others? I don't know. I can't tell anybody what to do. I mean, I call MAGA people stupid all the time and dumb. I think I did that yesterday. I said there's too many people that support MAGA who are dumb. Not all of them, but many of them are dumb. I am all for Americans insulting another Americans. Half of this shit is okay because the guy at the top does the same goddamn thing. I don't give a fuck about people saying mean words about other people. I have to deal with that shit all the time. I don't care. You got to have thick skin. You got to be a big girl or a big boy in this world. And if some asshole wants to call you a nasty name, well, tough shit. Get over it, bitch. That's what I say. I am a big supporter of looking at somebody stone in the face and telling them they're a fucking asshole. So don't try to come into here and start shit in your stupid fucking way, you twat. I know what the fuck you're doing. Bob says don't kink shame, except feet people. They're weird. That's bullshit. The foot is a beautiful part of the human body. I prefer feet over boobs. As long as they're attractive feet. If a lady takes care of her foot appropriately and it's not shaped like a goddamn tennis racket, all right? I don't like stumpy, blocky feet. I like athletic feet. All right. So, yeah, I have no problem with anybody referring to anybody as a nasty name. Kenny says, I prefer a sexy neck over feet any day. I used to get laughed at for that. Necks can be super sexy. Chris says, this makes more sense now why EZ helped with NFK's feet. No, I was not. Those are not attractive feet. They look like dead fish. All right. Anyway, on Facebook and YouTube, thanks for being here, but I'm going to send you on your way. Thank you. Before I go, though, before you go, though, follow the show on Twitch. Then you get the show in its entirety, and everybody sees your comments. If you're on Facebook or YouTube, those aren't the biggest platforms for me. Twitch is where it's at, and that's where everybody has all the fun. So you go to twitch.tv/Eric Zane Live, or you download the Twitch app and search Eric Zane Live. That's how you do it. I have a Patreon with new content going up there every single day of the week, and I want you to be part of it. You go to patreon.com/Eric Zane. It's an additional platform where I put up more content, and there's no sponsors involved with that. It is a paid platform, so it costs you $5 or $10 a month. $5 is all the audio, $10 is all the audio, the video, and the live streams. And you can try it for 7 days free. patreon.com/Eric Zane. patreon.com/Eric Zane. Thank you. As well, the free podcast is available for download wherever you download shows. If you want to reach out to me via email, eric@ericzaneshow.com. I check it constantly. Drop me a line with something that you want to talk about or whatever it is. Hate mail, good mail, whatever you want. I don't care. It is brought to you by Shoreliners Striping, online at shorelinersstriping.com. All right, I've kicked the folks from Facebook and YouTube off. Facebook and Twitch brought to you by Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid and EV. The Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. Now, why did I say that weird? It's like I had a stroke. The Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage invites you to call upon them when you need to get a mortgage. Start shopping for your dream home by calling Mario 231-332-6505. That's 231-332-6505. Mario gave me some great advice the other day. He said, easy. You can get into a mortgage, but what hurt you was this RV. You got the RV. You're paying on that. You got the roof. You're paying on that. I want you to dump the debt before you start buying up all the vacation property rentals. He had a good heart-to-heart with me, and I go, I like what you're saying, Mario. You want me to take my time. You don't want me to rush into this. He goes, absolutely. If you want to do this right, with no stress, do these things for me. That's the type of guy he is. He gives you great advice. Anywhere in the U.S., 231-332-6505. Sure, he could have put me into a loan to get that vacation property, but he knows that that's not great for me. You can take advantage of that expert service, 231-332-6505, for the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage, NMLS number 3035. Linda says, I'm debt-free and I need a revenue stream. I'll be your co-slumlord. Talking about a nice-looking neck. Maize and Blue says, LOL, the black guy who was on Ottawa Impact with the neck rolls. That would be John Gibbs. No, that neck is not nice. Thank you, as always, to Werner Roofing. They just put the roof on the Eric Zane Show podcast house. And you can head over to their website, W-E-R-N-E-R, WernerRoofing.com. When you go there, you'll see this form. fill this out. Name, email, phone number, address, message. On the message, write, Eric Zane told me to reach out to you through his amazing podcast. Something like that. So that he knows that you heard about it from me. W-E-R-N-E-R, WernerRoofing.com. They'll put a roof on your house in about a day, maybe less. After they got done here, it was like they weren't even here. Fantastic. Full financing available so that you don't have to pay this all at once if you don't want to. Type of loan where you can pay off the loan at any time and you don't get penalized or anything like that. Very easy to work with. So get that roof on your house. Get an estimate today. WernerRoofing.com. W-E-R-N-E-R Roofing.com. They also do siding, gutters, metal roofs, all of those things from Werner Roofing. I am going to reach out to Kyle, who is from a company that used to market themselves on the Eric Zane Show podcast. One of the amazing talents that helps make this show go. If I don't reach out to Kyle, there's a pretty decent chance that we might jinx the Lions. We are on an absolute roll. The audience has said that this is true. If I don't call Kyle, we're screwed. Mm-hmm. A lot of time in the show. If he's not here, we'll call him back.
Hey, Zane.
Oh, my God. Hello.
What a great way to start the conversation. Oh, my God. Hello.
Everyone is happy to hear your voice. You know why?
Oh, let me guess. It's because the Lions fucked up the Packers?
Well, that, and if we don't get you on, there's a superstition that has been established that it's because of these conversations that the Lions are keep winning.
It very well may be, dude. It very well may be. And I'm feeling good about it. So, yeah, I'm on board, dude.
When you were watching that game, were you, like, plopped down in front of the TV or were you doing something else?
Yeah, so I was plopped down in front of the game for sure. It was interesting because Nicole, a.k.a. Cliff's wife, came over to watch the game. So she's a Vikings fan, so she hates the Packers too. So it was like a weird indirect, like a bunch, like there was a couple of us who were like, man, fuck the Packers, dude. And so yeah, we were sitting there watching and, you know, started out, of course, a little bit nervous or whatever. But yeah, then we just started fucking them up, dude. I mean, the score wasn't as fuck-upable. I mean, at one point it was, but the score wasn't as fuck-upable as the couple other games we had previously.
Right.
We fucked them up, dude.
Yeah, well, I think the Lions are kind of, they're a little bit undermanned because the one guy's leg fell off.
Yeah.
And then the other guy was busy telling the fans to go fuck themselves. Did you see that guy?
Wait, which guy?
Brian Branch.
Oh yeah. Oh fuck. Sorry, I just got way too pumped up too quick and started talking about. Yeah, man, fuck. That was a little nuts. That whole sequence.
That was awesome.
Game.
Well, it was bullshit that they threw him out. And then he's walking off the field and he's showing double birds to those piece of shit Packer fans.
Yeah, dude, fuck the Packer fans, dude. I'm on board with Brian Branch, dude. No, I couldn't believe that, dude. Like, straight up, like, before the game started, the announcers mentioned a little bit, but, like, in articles and stuff, it's like, yeah, dude, Lambeau Field, like, one of the worst when it's raining. It's, like, the slipperiest field there is. And I'm like, all right, you got two guys running full speed at each other, like, and you're going to deem that one guy was just hit the other guy the wrong way? It's like, dude, he can't fucking stop, dude. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, absolutely. It's you know, even if it was illegal, it should be allowed because it's the Lions. You know, the
I
Lions
know,
should
right?
be allowed to do what they want. because they're the
Yeah, it's been too damn long, dude. Yeah, there should be some sort of conspiracy set up. It's like, yeah, let whoever the fuck they want, dude. Let them sign. Let them sign fucking Patrick Mahomes for like $3 million a year. Like, no, that's stupid. That's not like Jared Goff. But you know, just like, yeah, just let us do whatever the fuck we want, dude. We want a Super Bowl, dude.
So yeah, then they go ahead and they trade for that that stud guy who's kind of like, you know, going to replace Aiden Hutchinson. You saw that too.
I did see that, dude. And so yeah, that's a nice little move, because yeah, I was getting tired of watching fucking whatever that guy, Al Kadeem Muhammad or whatever. I'm sick of watching that guy rush the quarterback, dude. Fucking yeah. Get somebody in there that's going to do it.
They need the right guy. And then they only gave up, like, I think they gave like a pair of cleats and a football to Cleveland for that guy.
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. Like a fifth rounder next year and like a sixth rounder of the year.
Oh, yeah. Who gives a fuck? Dude. Yeah. Is that all it takes to get a great player? Give a couple pile of shit draft picks?
Dude, straight up, here's the thing. Like, I've always been for, like, the Lions don't generally pull this off. And, like, Brad Holmes does his, like, we've had bad GMs for a long time, but, like, Brad Holmes has, like, his own style. So he hasn't really done this quite yet. But for, like, the past decade or, like, 15 years, I've been, like, jealous of other teams, like, near the trade deadline or, like, even before the season. Like, yeah, somebody will trade for somebody good as fuck and give away, like, a fifth rounder or something.
I know.
I'm always like, well, I'm like, why the fuck can we do that, dude? So, like, now we finally kind of did it. And I was like, hell yeah, baby, that feels good.
Yeah. There were here's the thing. There were people, like, on what do you call Reddit or even, like, various online spots saying the Lions should give up. And these are people that don't know anything about football, but they're still talking about it. They were saying, like, the Lions should give up two first rounders and Jahmyr Gibbs for, like, Myles Garrett.
Oh, yeah, that's too much. I mean, Myles Garrett's good, but Jahmyr Gibbs is too good, dude. Fuck that.
Yeah, and first rounders? Fuck that shit. Are you kidding me? These guys know how to draft. They draft excellent players.
Yeah, hell yeah, we do. That's fucking true, though.
All right, so that's good. And then they play Sunday. I don't like those night games because then I stay up way too late watching them unless they're blowing them out. So, all right.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting one too. But I've been reading that Houston I think they're playing Houston. I'm reading that they've been giving up shitloads of sacks. And I'm like, well, good. Do we need one of those games that we can get fucking
– right.
Al Kadeem Muhammad and fucking Isaiah Thomas, but not the great basketball player. We need those fucking guys to get some sacks. Dude.
We need to set the tone, and like one of the Houston players gets one of those neck injuries where he's in a wheelchair for the rest of his life.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I will say it's somewhat related to that, but not like completely related. This actually cracks me up. But like, so Josh Pascal, who has been out like the past 2 weeks, like, This is just like human nature, right? Because like the reporters don't want to give too much information, so they're like, "Oh, he has an illness or whatever." So then you're just like a casual fan, you're sitting there going like, "Come on, fucking man up, dude! Like you're fucking sick! Like come on, dude!" Anyways, turns out like he has like skin cancer or something, so he had to do like he had to do like some sort of treatment or whatever, and it makes you not feel good or whatever.
Oh,
and I was like,
shit.
"Okay, now I feel bad," but yeah. Yeah, like, damn, dude, you know, just, like, you think it's, like, the flu, or, like, you think it's, like, something, but it's, like, no, yeah, skin cancer. Like, okay, my bad.
So there's that. In the past week, what do you have for us that's interesting that you want to talk about here?
Well, Aaron Zane, first off, we have to reference the text that I sent you after the Lions went for it on fourth down and scored that touchdown. You have to read the audience the text I sent you.
Yes. I'll see if I can remember it off the top of my head. It was something to reference Dan Campbell's giant dick.
Yeah. Well, it was just funny. Cause like I was listening to, you know, the show after we did it or whatever. And like that obviously, and then you like named the YouTube episode about Dan Campbell's something about his huge ass cock. I don't remember exactly what it was, but anyway, so it was stuck in my head. And then like, here we are like right in the beginning of the game, dude, we're just fucking just doing a big old dick decision, dude.
Yeah.
And it fucking worked out. And yeah. So then I sent you that text, which was fucking hilarious.
Yeah. That was funny. And you're right about the guy. It's a monster dong. Monster dong.
There's just no way, like, he, like, misses Dan Campbell. There's no way, like, he's not, like, getting out of the shower on, like, a Wednesday night or something like that and just fucking just accidentally just slaps her in the face with that fucking.
Oh, yeah.
Just turning around. Like, not even on purpose. Just turning around. Just fucking the sheer girth and weight is just fucking slapping around. What can you do, dude? What can you do when you're Dan Campbell?
Dan Campbell, no doubt, has the most pristine, beautiful, enormous penis on the planet.
Straight up, dude.
All right. What else do you got for me, Kyle?
Yep. So because this weekend, Daddy is going to Frankenmuth, little tiny family vacation that we usually do every year, which Frankenmuth is Frankenmuth, but there's you can have a good time there. We're going to the little water park and stuff for J-Mo, so we can have a good old time.
Okay. Yep. I can see that. They've added fun stuff there like that. The food is outstanding, by the way.
Oh yeah, straight. Yeah, we went to that restaurant last year, and of course we booked a reservation for this year. Last year we were like, we didn't know what the fuck was going on, and they just like kept bringing us food for like an hour and a half straight. And we're like, what the fuck's going on? So this time we're prepared, so we know exactly what's going on. But yeah, I love that fucking place. Dude, I like eating, dude.
Yeah. The Zenders is what you're referring to, right?
Yeah,
Zenders is legendary.
Oh, and, super, dude.
And I think it's like a Nazi stronghold. Those fucking the fucking Zenders. Holy shit. They murdered tons of people back in World War II in concentration camps.
Oh shit, dude. That's I thought that, yeah, I guess it does sound like a German fucking
name. Oh, it is.
It, dude.
Yeah, they it's run by the SS. And they,
could you just imagine, dude, there's just like a really, really deep inner circle of like the people of Frankenmuth that are like, yeah, one of these years we're going to get back over there and start fucking up those Jews. And we're like, dude, what the hell?
Without a doubt. If you wear a swastika on your t-shirt, you are going to eat for free there.
Yeah. I'll give her a try if you want me to. No, I'm not.
You will eat free. You probably will get canceled somehow. After that,
I know,
but they will love you. You might even get sucked off.
You know, it could happen. You know, there's always a possibility that it could happen.
That is outstanding. I want you to enjoy your meal. So you're excited about that. That's coming up this weekend.
Yeah, and I do have to tell you too. I was just I just have to tell you when this happens. But yeah, I was the other day. Let's see here, maybe Monday. I was cruising back to the shop or whatever, and like I just pulled up next to this truck, and you know I'm always just casually looking around, and like this dude was looking at me, and he was like, "Hey," and I was like, "Yeah, what's up?" And he was like, "You wouldn't by chance be Kyle, would you?" And I was like, "Yeah," and he was like, "Yeah, man, I listened to you on the Eric Zane show," so yeah, dude, just fucking out there meeting the people, dude, just fucking doing my thing.
I know it. That's outstanding. I love that. That's your brand out there, fucking meeting the people.
Yeah, and you know the funny thing is, I had to give him an assurance that it was me. So my answer to his question of "Are you Kyle?" I think it was something like, "Yeah, dude, that's fucking me," or something like that. Or I was like, "Yeah, that's totally something. Just sounds like me."
Yeah, so just all you got to do is be yourself. Just be yourself, and it's your personality. Just people just know it's you. I get that all the time from people like Dale, Throat/Dale, and you. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude. It's just, it was cool, dude.
Cole writes, think of how many listeners he'd meet if he was a sponsor.
I know, straight up. Okay, listen, Eric Zane, we are so fucking close to being done with this franchising stuff. And then I'll know. Then I'll straight up. I know I said it was going to be after that magazine. And the magazine thing, if I don't know, it like finished up in whenever I said like July or something
like 3
that.
Years ago.
Yeah. No, like this year. And so anywho, then fucking we were trying to like, we're like arguing with that guy, like, dude, your company screwed us and like all this stuff. Anywho, he like never responded. But then like, I want to say maybe like a month ago, he like sent Emilio and I like this email and was like, "Hey, like click this to sign up for." And we're like, "Dude, fuck off, dude. Like what the hell is this shit, yeah, dude? Like you screwed us. Don't be like sending us more emails, dude."
Yeah. Unbelievable. The nerve of that guy. You know who would never dream of doing that? The Eric Zane Show podcast.
Yeah, I know. Straight up. You're 100% correct, Eric Zane. I know, for sure, dude.
Okay. Thank you. Go Lions. Be safe this weekend. Keep it between the lines, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Love you guys. Deuces.
There you go. That's Kyle from Dumpster. Well, a company that used to market themselves on this podcast. Oh, that's hysterical. Jeremy says he has a new clip published. In case you're wondering about that, these guys, they'll be watching this show live on the phone. And then there's a feature on there where you can make a clip of something stupid that I said and post it out of context. This one titled, We Love Dan Campbell. Let's take a listen and a watch.
Well,
Dan Campbell, no doubt, has the most pristine, beautiful, enormous penis on the planet.
Well,
thank you. That's true. I'll feature that one and you can check it out on your own. Well done. As always, I thank you for that. Chris says, Houston going down now after Kyle's segment. Linda says, I feel better now that the Lions will win for sure. A little bit more about that guy for the Lions, Brian Branch. I wish I would have pulled the clip, but I don't have it in front of me. I'll just have to tell you about it, paint the picture. So he hit the guy with his helmet, and they threw him out of the game. And then he walks off the field giving the middle fingers, both double-barreled fingers to the Packers crowd. And so he might get punished for that. Like, actually, I wouldn't surprise me at all. He probably should be. Well, I don't want him to be, but they'll probably punish him. Where he won't play. All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.